can't see Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh, man, Corey Majors.
Oh, man.
And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, let's talk some baseball. Now, Chris Young, you brought this up Thursday or Friday, and I wanted to, like, dive further into it. Chris Young said, I think from a position player standpoint, we feel pretty good. Which is interesting because the Rangers were bottom five offense league-wide by most statistical categories last year. And they're bringing back pretty much the same group.
Yep.
Because who they added? Brandon Nimmo, Danny Jansen. And Danny Jansen's like a split-time catcher. But
as of right now, Roto Champ has him as the projected starter.
Okay. I just wonder if you'll see like pretty much the same as last year, where they're like, let's mostly try to split it unless one surges ahead.
Yeah. I liked Higgy in there. Yeah, man, this is they have not done much. But it seems like Chris Young has told us adamantly for the last 2 years, we just need them to play better.
Right.
And it sounds like, doesn't that feel like that was pushed down from the top, from not hit from his boss? Look, you're not getting any money, so you need to figure out a way for these guys to play better.
Yeah.
And that feels like that's what the that push was. So this group, you're going to rely very heavily on your top three hitters. I think that's where you put a lot of your hope and desire in, is that those three can provide the runs that you want, and that's Nimmo, Langford, and Seager. Those are going to be your top three, your first three guys up, probably.
So I wanted to go through what your position groups kind of like essentially look like right now.
All right.
So at catcher, Higashioka and Jansen.
Mm-hmm.
First base.
Jansen hit .215 last year, by the way.
Hell yeah. Jake Berger, that's worth a multi-year deal. He's your first baseman. Second baseman, I don't know if this is in order, but Josh Smith, Cody Freeman, Ezekiel Duran. Maybe your order's different, but I feel like those are three of your true contenders.
I'm very interested because didn't it feel like Bochy with Duran, like he was there? And then kind of continue to just slide away. And I wonder if with new manager, everybody's a clean slate, or if they're all like, no, this is kind of where we stack everybody.
And I feel like Bochy was pretty upfront about the mental and physical struggles of Duran, but that's fair. Shortstop, Corey Seager. And I'm not even getting into injuries at this time. Third base, Josh Young. And then I have two potential different outfield lineups. Wyatt in left, Evan Carter in center, and Nimmo in right. If you don't think that Evan Carter is going to be a go, then the thought would be that Langford is in center, and then Nimmo and Osuna, I would guess, would get the first shot in the corners, and then Jock Peterson at DH. Now, we can dive more specifically into any of this that you want, but when you hear that, that sounds pretty damn underwhelming, does it not?
It does. Now, if I think about what the best versions of them can do, pretty good. I don't think...
Sure.
Honestly, though, I still don't see a championship roster in that, no matter what. Additions need to be made. That being said, I feel like pitching puts you in a really good, strong position, depending on how that all shakes up. You have two really good pitchers. And then you kind of have, you got another year of Leiter, which you're hoping to make another advancement there. He had moments where he was great, moments where he wasn't. Rocker, he looked good, and then he had moments where you're like, oh, that's a rookie pitcher right there.
Right.
And then maybe Jacob Latt. So, like, the pitching you feel gives you twice every five times, run through the rotation, you feel pretty good. But Kevin, the roster does not look like a championship built roster. It looks like it's still going to rely heavily on long ball, and it's going to rely heavily on whether or not these dudes strike out a ton. That's kind of where, and there's a lot of names: Jock Peterson being included, Jake Berger being included, hell, Josh Young being included in that conversation too.
So I want to use this text as an example. because I totally get where they're coming from. But count the ifs. I feel good if Berger and if Peterson can pick it up, if Carter's back can stay healthy, if Young can stay healthy and consistent, if Corey Seager can stay healthy, if Nimmo doesn't decline, and if Wyatt can take another step. So just think about that. That's seven ifs. That's almost an if on your entire lineup. And I'm here for that, and I would be willing to wager that some of those things absolutely happen. Like, I'm with you on that. But to make this offense, as it looks right now, truly coherent, don't you need most of those things to happen? Like, I definitely think you need Berger and Peterson to pick it up, and I definitely think you need...
What do you need to pick up from Berger?
Berger is consistency, right? Because Jock Peterson, it was just all around garbage last year. But for Berger, it's any level of consistency, especially with his power.
Yeah, he had 28 home runs. That tied Seager. Like, that was nice. He did hit, what, 243? You kind of expect... Actually, honestly, didn't expect his batting average to be that high.
Yeah, his batting average is not going to be great.
And yeah, I'm with you on consistency.
How many home runs did you say?
I have 28 listed here. Am I wrong about this?
I'm showing 16.
Oh, man. So, this number's way off.
Okay. Yeah. But I was like, there's no way he hit that many home runs last year. That does not sound right at all.
Yeah, I got 16 on another one, too.
Okay.
I don't know. This site's stupid. I'm out of here. He had 29 the year before in Miami.
Okay. Yes. And that's the thing. And that was one of the reasons.
Are these projected numbers? Yeah, that's projected.
Well,
numbers.
Great. Then I approve of that, because that's one of the reasons you move for him, is doesn't have a lot of the most position flex. He's not the fastest person in the world, but he can hit for power. And last year, 16 for 53. And like, that's my concern. So that could improve. That could improve with him and Jock. But then it still feels like you need a healthy enough Corey Seager and a healthy and consistent Josh Young. And that's where you're like, man, we have started to pile up a lot of ifs.
So for me, this really does hinge on Josh Young's season for me.
I got that.
It's cool that we got him for $2.9 million in avoided arbitration. All right, cool. We did that. But like, this dude's career, Kevin, we have one for the next 3 years or two more years after this with arbitration. He'll be like 31 almost by the time he's an unrestricted free agent. This dude's career has been just a up and down roller coaster, and I don't know which version of him is the real one. And honestly, because we always were told he's a hard worker, maybe not the most talented.
Right.
But he'll work hard, and that's good. But the talent's got to come out at some point. And what we saw last year for what we needed out of him, what we expected, was atrocious.
Yeah, and I always wonder how a player does...
And he played most games of his career!
Well, and I always wonder, what goes through a player's mind when they realize, like, you're probably not ever going to make a lot of money off of baseball? And like Josh Young, I'm sure the way he started, he's like, oh man, we might be talking in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And just hasn't really worked out thus far. But still, time to turn it around. Can I suggest one more name for you? Now, the number one drawback about this name is he would cost money. And that does not seem to be something that the Rangers are looking to dabble in, though I have been doing my own salary cap breakdowns, and they should have at least another $10 million to play around with. I've seen other numbers that think that number is higher, but I'm going to say I think they have at least $10 million that they should be willing to spend. Now, should is doing a lot of work right there. Does the name, and this is a name that you've brought up in the past, Luis Arraez, do anything for you? The reason why I bring him up, he is a free agent right now, and in this modern world of baseball, he has not drawn a whole lot of interest, despite the fact that his batting average consistently is among the best in the league. What does he not have? He does not have pop, and thus his OPS and his WAR do not always reflect super positively in the modern world of baseball. He played mostly first base for the Padres last year, and he has a lot of experience at second base. Since we were talking about questions about how second base is going to work, does the name Luis Arraez do anything for you? And I don't think he would be particularly expensive, but again, he cost some money.
Yeah, he's what, $14 million with San Diego?
And I would be willing to bet you'd see a pretty good drop from that. Really somewhat of a drop.
I love having base runners. I absolutely love having base runners on. This league does not anymore, and they don't desire that. But Skip said, whenever we talked to him, there's more ways to win a game than one.
Sure.
And each day, that's the fun part of it, is trying to figure out what's today. How are we going to be able to do this one today? And I think he adds that component to you. Now, if you get into a game where you need a slugger and he's at the plate, you're pinch hitting. Or you're going, well, I mean, he's probably going to be on base.
Right.
But you're not relying on him in big moments. So exactly where do you put him in the lineup? It does intrigue me.
Okay.
It does intrigue me. But again, Kevin, I'll say that doesn't make me feel like that's changed to a championship roster.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of the same on the pitching front. I know we feel significantly better about the starting pitchers, especially with DeGrom coming in, ready to roll, and Eovaldi coming in at least to spring training, ready to roll. I feel really good about the progression of Jack Leiter. I know people are hoping that Cody Bradford comes back, or if you want to bring up Kamar Rocker, Lats is getting stretched out to get a shot to start. But ESPN also listed Chris Bassitt, Lucas Giolito, and Nick Martinez as three right-handed pitchers that were quote-unquote inning-eating starters, which is kind of how we described Patrick Corbin when they made that move last year.
What a great innings-eating starter you had, though.
Yes, absolutely.
If you could have just scored more runs, dude, that rotation was awesome.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's scary about all of this. That rotation was awesome. Arguably the greatest overall pitching performance in the history of the Texas Rangers franchise, and you finish 500.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not look like, at least on the surface...
Which basically proves pitching doesn't matter in baseball, Mike.
I would argue that that's how you got to 81 wins, and that pitching very much does matter. But on the surface, it looks like you did not get discernibly better offensively. Now,
yeah,
if some of those ifs start to click, or if Brandon Nimmo really takes off with a new team, or if you see the next evolution of Wyatt Langford, or if Corey Seager stays healthy and gets back to MVP form, or if Josh Young, but think about it, I'm just substituting if for or, and I just said or. That's a lot of uncertainty, and I just wanted to throw it out there to kind of get the vibe of how people are feeling, and this is the part that disturbs me. Somebody texted it in and said, this person is an Astros fan, and they like the strategy that the Rangers are taking.
Shut up.
That is meant to be an insult.
That hurt.